Hey, this is Mallory.
And this is Bethany.
And you're listening to Killer Stargazing. So this is the podcast where we talk about killers and read their birth charts and see if they match up. This time we thought it'd be fun if I just gave Bethany a killer's birth chart, and this time she has no idea who it is.
No clue. Super curious. This is an interesting chart, so I really can't wait to find out who this is.
I'm so excited to talk about this. Yes. Today we have our killer cocktail.
Yes. Killer cocktail of the day is Mommy's Little Monster. And what it is vodka, Monster energy drink, and cherries.
Of course.
Very delicious.
Very good.
And a recipe on our Instagram.
Yep, at Killer Stargazing. Okay, so Bethany, I know you're not super well-versed in serial killers. That's kind of why we liked doing this, because you enjoy listening to true crime, but yes. You're more into the astrological aspect of it, whereas I'm interested in the astrological, but I really love researching and talking about the serial killer. So the cocktail Mommy's Little Monster is kind of a big clue. And then I also wanted to start with a quote from this killer.
Okay. See if I can guess who it is.
Yeah.
All right.
So was asked what he thinks when he sees a woman now. And he said, "One side of me says, I'd like to talk to her, date her. The other side of me says, I wonder what her head would look like on a stick." I don't think you're going to get it, but do you have any guesses?
I mean, I feel like at some point I've heard that. I don't know if at some point you told me that.
Or I probably heard it
because I do enjoy watching random crime stuff. It's just that I don't retain a lot of the information about the killers.
He's a bigger one.
Okay. Is it the, wait, who is that one? The BT.
BTK? No, but I do love him. Okay. I mean, I don't love him, but the case is very interesting.
Maybe in the future.
No, it's not, but that's a good guess. Okay, so today we are talking about Edmund Kemper, aka the co-ed killer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
This is interesting because I actually just watched a two-part thing on him like a couple months ago.
Really?
Like randomly. It was just like on. And I had never heard of him before. Still, the only reason I know that is because of that special thing I just watched.
Yeah, yeah. And I know I've talked about him before.
So yes.
Also, I just want to say this is a pretty graphic one. So just as a disclaimer, if you're super sensitive to that, maybe don't listen. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you all about him.
So he's
a very large man. He is 6'9" and 300 pounds. And he was active mainly in the 1970s, and he killed 10 people.
That was like in Santa Cruz, right? Like if I remember right.
Yeah, it was in California. Mm-hmm. So he was born December 18th, 1948 to parents Edmund and Clarnell. So something very telling about their marriage, Edmund and Clarnell. So his dad fought in World War II and then after the war tested nuclear weapons. And he said that suicide missions in wartime and the atomic bomb testings were nothing compared to living with her. And that she affected him more than the 396 days and nights of fighting on the front. Yeah. So growing up, Ed had two sisters and he was the middle child. After his
all around, fellow middle child.
middle children all around. Raise your glass. After his parents divorced, he was, I think, around 9, and he was devastated because he was really close to his father. He loved his dad. Mm. But his dad let Clarnell take all the children and move to Montana. So as a young kid, now this is kind of seen as a warning sign of a potential killer, or really just in general, just a troubled child.
It's a cat, isn't it? It's always a cat.
He started with animal cruelty. It's terrible. When he was 10, he buried the family cat alive. I know one thing you should know about Bethany is she is a cat mom. She loves cats. So he buried the family cat alive. After it died, he dug it up and then he decapitated it and mounted the cat's head on a spike And then he later on, he talks about how much enjoyment and pleasure he got from lying to the family about what he did. That wasn't it. He also killed the family cat again when he was 13. I think he went out and got another cat. You should just stop getting cats.
Did they not see the cat's head on a stick before?
He lied about it. It was so weird. So this time he killed the cat when he was 13 because he thought the cat liked his sister better. And then he hid pieces of it in his closet and then until his mom eventually caught him and found it in his closet. There was also a lot of really odd behaviors. He and his sisters would play a fun game called Gas Chamber. They pretend like one of them was getting killed in the gas chamber. He would also remove the heads and hands from his sister's dolls. I grew up with two brothers. I was also the middle child.
If that was the only thing he did, maybe not.
So the head thing, I get it. Yeah. The hands, that's weird to me.
That is a little bit weird.
So yeah, he would cut he would take the heads and the hands off of their dolls. But his sisters weren't that great either. One time his sister tried to push him in front of a train. And then another time she pushed him in the deep end of a pool and he almost drowned.
It's because she knew he killed cats.
Probably. But, totally right. Normal sibling stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sibling rivalry.
Near-death experiences and all. Mm-hmm. Not even an accidental kind. But his childhood really wasn't fun. His mother was an alcoholic who would constantly abuse him and humiliate him. Mm. She refused to show any type of motherly affection to him. Mm. She mocked him for his height and told him that no woman would ever love him. I mean, she was right, but what the fuck? Right.
She was right, but not because of his height, because I'm sorry, I might just be speaking for myself, but I'm pretty sure women love a tall dude.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, I think it's the height amongst
the cat killing and other things. Yeah,
for all sure. The weird mm-hmm. shit he was doing.
Yeah.
So when he was 15, she said that she was afraid he was gonna molest or hurt his sisters. Mm-hmm. So she forced him to sleep in the basement where he was terrified. And I think I read that there mm-hmm. was, it was the kind that had the single bulb, bare bulb.
Oh, like you see in
horror movies. Yeah. And that he admitted that he would be terrified and would run to go turn it on.
Like when you pull it on the chain or whatever.
Yeah. So that was, that's fucked up. Yeah. So he hated living with his mom, understandably. Mm-hmm. So he ran away to his dad's house because he loved his dad. But his dad had a new family. Plus, Ed was already exhibiting a lot of odd behaviors.
His dad was like,
I'm guessing that he did that with them mm-hmm. Because his dad ended up sending him to live with his parents, so Ed's grandparents. Mm-hmm. Their names were Maud and Edmund. Ed Kemper was the third. So his dad and grandfather.
Okay.
From what I read, though, his grandmother was really similar to his mom, very domineering. Mm-hmm. And so that was probably triggering for him.
But he was close to his grandpa? I thought he liked one of them.
He liked his grandpa. Right. Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. He was not a fan of his grandma. Mm-hmm. So one day his grandma was writing a children's book and they had gotten into a fight. Ed was furious, grabbed a rifle and shot his grandma in the back of the head and then twice more in her back. So his grandpa was out at the store while this happened. And when he came back, he shot and killed his grandpa right in the driveway. He said he did it because he didn't want him to have to see his wife dead.
I'm just doing you a favor, Grandpa.
Yeah, I'm doing you a favor by murdering you. I really liked him. And then he told authorities that he just wanted to see what it felt like to kill Grandma. So weird. I've never wondered that.
I've never been curious, thankfully.
So he kills his grandparents at 15. He ends up in a psych ward, and he convinces everyone that he's cured. Mm-hmm. I should mention he had an IQ of 145, which is near genius level.
Yeah.
So at 15, he kills his grandparents, and then boom, 21, he's released.
He's able to fool everyone because he's that smart.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking he's
not only was he released, they said he was well-adjusted.
And people liked him and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they said he wasn't a danger to himself or mm-hmm. any member of society. And then they had his record expunged. So it's just expunged. So it's like he never brutally murdered his fucking grandparents.
It's like, it's one thing if you decide to let the guy go, but it's quite another to be like, let's just pretend like what you did didn't even happen.
Yeah. So I just want to take a pause because I just realized we hadn't even gone over his sun, moon, rising. So oh. I really want to do that now. So before yes. we get even more into his, like, how he became known as the yes. co-ed killer, okay. let's talk about his sun, moon, rising.
All right. So his sun is Sagittarius. Feisty fire sign there.
My brother is a Sagittarius.
Yes. You know, I know I'm a Sagittarius rising myself, but I know a few amazing ones. It is actually a pretty stellar sign.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have a Leo moon. And a Virgo rising.
Okay.
So that's what we are working with right now.
Okay.
Funny, there is a lot actually about family. There's so much about him being well-liked, which I yeah. think comes into play.
He does, because he's a fucking sociopath, and he yeah. can, like...
It talks about, you know, him being able to just pretty much make friends with anyone he comes into contact with if he wants to, gets along well with all different walks of life, both sexes, like, doesn't matter, like, everyone just seems to like him.
Yeah.
You know, at least according to the chart.
And you know what? He probably would have had his mother not... been what she was, he probably would have got along yes. with women too. But I do know that he was weird. He mm-hmm. he said he considered himself a bit of a bumble butt.
Bumble butt, right? A bumble.
Bumble butt. Hmm. But he did have a lot of cop friends. He wanted to be a cop, so he had a lot of friends that were cops, and he hung around them all the time. And even if you watch any of the interviews with him, he just seems like, you know, just chatting it up.
Yeah, so just a very, like, personable person.
That's what he pretends to be. He's a sociopath.
Oh, yeah. So that makes me think, so your rising sign is kind of like what you kind of portray, how other people see you. So with the ascendant in Virgo, it's, you know, it does indicate that super, you know, intelligent, but also kind of shy.
Yeah.
Like a little bit shy. Which I don't know. I don't know if that really applies
He was shy with women. He's like, bumblebutt.
Bumblebutt. did they say anything about like was he concerned about his like physical appearance, his health or anything?
Oh, yeah. Not his health, but his physical appearance. He was so tall. Right. His mom would like mock him about mm-hmm. it.
So it does indicate a specific concern with just
his physical appearance.
Yes. And physical health.
Yeah.
And it has weird stuff about food, too. Is there anything about like food?
So I actually didn't put this in here because he recanted it.
Okay.
But when he was trying to get a not guilty by reason of insanity, mm-hmm. he said that he cannibalized some of his victims. Oh. I don't know if that's on your food thing. But he recanted it later. He was found sane, so I didn't even put that in the story. But that's so funny that you put that.
Yeah, because it says, like, you know, Virgo rising people are often pretty particular about food and have really good appetites. an unmistakable pickiness about what they put in their bodies.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that's funny.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's released. Mm-hmm, so he kills grandparents. Convinces everyone he's 21. So he, like, 15 to 21, that's, like, a big part of your growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You're turning into more of an adult. So he's released, he gets his own apartment. And then after his first co-ed murder, or maybe his second, he ends up back at his mother's house. even though they specifically said he should not live with his mother. It's already a trigger for all of this. He has an extremely toxic and fucked up relationship with his mom. To me, it's just like the worst possible situation. So like I said earlier, he wanted to be a cop, but that didn't work out. And then he wanted a motorcycle, and then he ended up getting hit by a car and was given a settlement where he bought his 1969 Ford Galaxy. And with this car, he would start picking up hitchhiking women. And he said, like, he was testing himself. He would let them go. I think it said over 150 women he picked up. He would let them go, but in his car, he would keep plastic bags, knives, handcuffs, shit like that. And he, this is so fucked up. He called his homicidal sexual urges his little zappies.
Little zappies, huh?
So gross.
Wow.
Do you have any?
He's got a knack for nicknames, huh?
Yeah.
Bumblebutt.
Lil Zappies. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, so now we're going to kind of get into the murders. Okay. So between May of 1972 and April of 1973, he killed 8 women. He would pick up a hitchhiker, take them to an isolated area, and then he would kill them by shooting, stabbing, smothering, or strangling. He'd then pack up the body or bodies, bring them back to his apartment or his mom's house, where he would decapitate them, have sex with their severed heads.
Just the heads?
Just the heads, and then have sex with their corpses, and then dismember them. So besides his grandparents, he killed 5 college students, the name co-ed killer, and 1 high school student. He also killed his mother and his mother's best friend. And he only searched for these victims after he would have a big fight with his mom. So she worked at a university and in Santa Cruz, and she refused to introduce him to any of the women there. She said that he didn't deserve to get to know them. So they'd fight, he'd drive around pissed, find a college girl that kind of represented the girls that his mother said he would never have, and brutally murder them and humiliate their corpses. Just absolutely fucking awful, total monster.
Wow.
Yeah. Anything you're taught about that? again, with like the weird sexual thing, does it say anything about that?
Okay. So, you know, I guess when I was... when I was looking over this, I wasn't thinking about it on that level, that's for sure. As far as the sexual side of things, which there is a lot of, it indicates that he definitely likes games or competitive sports. First, spontaneous.
Well, his murders were spontaneous.
Yeah, and like the
little
sometimes.
Like the hitchhiking, like the little fucked up games he would play.
Impulsively pursues romance or the like,
or lack thereof,
yeah,
or what he would consider romance, I don't know.
So it indicates the sports thing, because well, anything with an element of risk appeals to you or entertains you.
Oh yeah.
Put a lot of energy into the pursuit of entertainment, satisfaction, games, and pleasure. So
just in all the wrong ways, though.
All the wrong ways. It even says that he could really enjoy putting on a show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would consider all the fucked up things he would do to these poor women was like putting on a show and lying about it. He talked about how he got so much pleasure from lying about it.
So it does indicate a fear of rejection as well as criticism, which obviously he got from Mama.
Yep.
And
a fear of rejection then because of all the women his mother said he would never have. Yeah.
Like pre-rejected before he even had a chance to go out there.
Try, yeah.
His imagination so powerful that it can be hard to trust.
Yeah.
His desire is very strong, attracted to mysteries and intrigue. Sexual experimentation is very likely.
Oh no.
As you're forever addicted to sensuality and unusual or perhaps even what many would consider perverted sexual scenarios.
Unusual and perverted sexual scenarios. I think that matches up pretty well.
Yes. It says your sensual appetite might be much like a bottomless pit. Ugh. You could find yourself forever in a state of wanting more.
That makes so much sense.
Tiring of regular sexual scenarios quickly.
Yeah. There's nothing
he had any regular ones. It didn't seem like he was ever interested in
that. I did not see anything about him having an actual girlfriend. No.
Endlessly searching for the next sensation.
Yeah. That's what serial killers do. Mm-hmm.
If an addiction to fantasy is present, you can find yourself constantly chasing a new and more complicated fantasy.
As we get into these, I will show you.
Okay.
Okay, so I do not want to seem insensitive because every one of his victims matter, and it's a very tragic story. But I am going to go through these pretty quickly because there are so many. So May 7th, 1972, he killed Mary Ann Pesce, I think is how you pronounce it, P-E-S-C-E.
Sounds right.
Okay. And Anita Lucchesa. They were both 18 years old. He handcuffed Mary Ann and locked Anita in the trunk. Kemper then stabbed and strangled Pesce to death and killed Lucchesa right after, very similarly. On his...
Wait, how did he... So he was able to restrain both of them at the same time, or...
So I believe so. It was just like a really quick like scenario that I saw that he handcuffed her and then locked Anita in the trunk. So he had them separated and then he stabbed and strangled Pesce and then Lucchesa was in the trunk.
I guess with his size, it would be hard to dominate two
again, he's 6'9" and 300 pounds. And these are two 18-year-old babies.
Yeah.
So on his way home with the dead bodies in the trunk, he was actually stopped by the police for a broken taillight, but the officer never checked the trunk. So he got away with that. He dismembered them, putting their body parts in plastic bags, and had sex with both of their decapitated heads. Marianne's skull was eventually found, but that's it. None of her other remains, and there was zero trace of Anita to this day. Never found any part of her. So then on September 14th, 1972, he killed 15-year-old Aiko Ku. I cannot pronounce that. I am so sorry. She was trying to hitchhike to her dance class. He pulled a gun on her. Then he accidentally locked himself out of the car. And she let him back in the car. And then he choked her, raped her, and killed her. Same story, brought her home, had sex with her corpse, dismembered and disposed of her remains in a similar way to the previous two. So those, I believe, were all done while he had his own apartment. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the rest of this is him living with his mom. Okay, so January 7th, 1973, he murdered Cindy Shaw. She was 18 years old. He drove her to a wooded area and shot her with a .22 caliber pistol. He brought her back to his mother's house and, again, had sex with the corpse, dismembered and decapitated her, this time in his mother's bathtub. And then with Cindy, he kept her severed head for days, repeatedly having sex with it. And then he buried it in his mother's garden, facing upwards towards her bedroom, because, as Ed said, she always wanted people to look up to her. It's really fucked up.
Wow.
Like, he's hating her, but he's wanting to please her at the same time.
And being kind of creative about it.
Yeah. I mean, didn't you say it's like he gets, like, he switches it up and...
Very likes- imaginative, too, which, you know, that's, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, it's not a compliment when it's this.
No, not saying it in a complimentary way.
No.
Like, you have, like, a psychotic imagination, of course, but, yeah. Like, it's...
We're just trying to see if it matches up, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wasn't... It was pretty interesting. And also the possibility of being caught. Like, he's bringing these poor dead women to his mother's house, like dismembering them in his mother's bathtub, burying the head in her garden. Like, it's all right there.
Wow.
So then on February 5th, 1973, Ed murdered Rosalind Thorpe, 23 years old, and Allison Liu, 20 years old. So by now, everyone was aware of the co-ed killer.
Mm-hmm.
And students were told to never go into a car that didn't have their university sticker. Mm-hmm. But he did have a university sticker because his mother worked at the university in Santa Cruz. So they thought they were okay when they got into the car with him. He shot them both with his 22 caliber and again brought them to his mother's house. This time, he carried just their severed heads into the house. So he had them in the trunk and then out in the open was just dismembering, like decapitating them. So if anyone would have walked by.
And this was like the daytime?
Yep.
Holy crap.
I think so. Don't quote me on that. But either way, out in the open like that.
Yeah.
So he carried just their severed heads into the house, had sex with them, dismembered their bodies. He removed the bullet so the gun couldn't be identified. He did that with Cindy Shaw as well. I forgot to mention that. Removed the bullet and then got rid of the remains. Same way. So it's pretty obvious that besides the fact that he's a sociopath and an absolute monster piece of shit, mm-hmm. in his mind, his mother is the reason that he killed all of those women. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the last people that he murdered was his mother, Clarnell Strandberg, and her best friend, Sally Hallett.
Now, were they the last people? Because after that, they knew it was him that did it. He couldn't murder anyone else.
Oh, we'll get into that.
Okay.
He could have kept going.
Oh.
So April 20th, 1973, Clarnell had come home from a party and she woke up Ed. She was reading a book on her bed when she noticed that Ed came into her room where she said, "Oh, I suppose you're going to want to sit up all night and talk now." And he just said, "No, good night," and left. So after she fell asleep, he bludgeoned her with a claw hammer and slit her throat with a knife. So everything building up to this, all the resentment towards mm-hmm. his mother, all the hatred, she was the reason in his mind why all this happened. So he decapitated her. He raped her head. And then put her head on a shelf where he screamed at it for an hour and then threw darts at it.
Wow.
Yeah.
He had an obsession with heads.
Yeah, yeah. He decapitated and raped every head. Except his grandparents.
Oh, and I don't think he raped the cat's head, do you think?
I don't think. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I didn't see anything about that.
I'm still stuck with the cat.
No, I just saw with the cat that he, like, buried it alive and then decapitated and put it on a spike. I didn't see anything about him doing that. But he was, like, 10. So probably not thinking about that.
He wasn't there yet.
No.
Yeah.
That's not it, though. He then smashed her face in, cut out her tongue and vocal cords, and he tried to put them in the garbage disposal, but they wouldn't take. Like, they were too tough. They spit them right back out. Mm-hmm. So when speaking about this later, Kemper said, "That seemed appropriate as much as she'd bitched and screamed and yelled at me over so many years." Oof. Yeah. So
thought about that one for a while, didn't he?
Quite a while. So he put his mother's corpse in a closet, and then he went to a bar for a drink.
Oh. Cop friends? Like, did he frequent a bar that was, like,
he
the
did.
Cops went to?
Yeah, like I said, he had, like, a lot of cop friends. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It didn't say that he – I did not find, like, what bar he went to or if he was with his cop friends.
Okay.
It's possible, but I just –
it was, like,
just,
one thing I just remembered from the thingy I watched, that the whatever bar he went to
– yeah.
A lot of cops frequented.
So oh, yeah. Like, he was friends with – yeah. Yeah, he had, like, a lot of –
friends with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a lot of – he had a lot of cop friends.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to a bar, had a drink. Then he gets back to the house and he invites his mother's best friend Sally over for dinner and a movie.
Jesus. Don't do it, Sally.
She did it.
She did it. Spoiler alert.
When she arrived, this poor woman, he strangled her to death just so he could have a cover story that his mom and her best friend went on vacation. I didn't see that he actually, like, did his whole ritual. Like, I don't think he decapitated, raped her head, or any of that.
He just wanted to kill her.
To use her as an alibi. Like, oh, my mom and her best...
alibi.
Or not an alibi, mm-hmm. but as a cover story. Like, okay. Oh, my mom and her best friend went on vacation. Mm-hmm. So he just strangled her. Which, God, that sucks. So when he arrived, she strangled her to death so he could have a cover story that his mom was found on occasion. Da, da, da. Okay. But then he put her body in a closet and he left a note to the police. And it said verbatim, "Approximately 5:15 a.m. Saturday. No need for her to suffer anymore at the hands of this horrible, murderous butcher. It was quick. Asleep. the way I wanted it. Not sloppy and incomplete, gents. Just a lack of time. I got things to do.
Wow.
That's so creepy.
So that's a confession, right? Was that like a confession?
Yeah, I think so. Like that's the note he left for them. And I don't think he's, I didn't see that he signed it, but he just.
You have to figure when, like, you know, it's your mom. Like,
yeah.
And didn't they tell them, or didn't they, like, advise that he shouldn't live with his mom?
Oh, yeah. Because of
their relationship
before. Yeah. Because it's toxic and fucked up. Mm-hmm. So he writes the note. He fled to Colorado, which was over 1,000 miles, and he was taking, like, caffeine pills to keep himself awake. Mm. He was, like, preparing for a manhunt. He had 3 guns and a shit ton of ammunition.
Oh, he wanted to go out, like...
Oh, he thought it was going down. Mm. Like, he's like, they've caught me. I know for a fact this is going to happen. Like, he was just... He was preparing for a manhunt. Mm-hmm. But he didn't hear any news. When he got to Colorado, he didn't hear anything on the radio of... about his mother and Sally's murder. Mm-hmm. So he called the police himself and confessed to the murders, but they didn't believe him. No, they were just like, oh, yeah, sure, you know, call back at a later time. Okay, oh, sure, buddy.
Okay, wow.
So, like I said, he hung out.
That's not really how police handle calls, you know, anymore.
I would really. Okay, sure. And,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's because they probably didn't expect, I mean, the co-ed killer was a big deal and was active. Mm-hmm. And so someone just calling up and being like, I'm the co-ed killer. Like,
I guess you wouldn't think the killer, the actual killer would really do that.
That they wouldn't turn themselves in. They would need to be caught.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I get that. But at the same time, like, seriously, that's not even worth a, let's
look into it.
Yeah. It's not even worth like
trace the call.
Oh, this is probably nothing, but well, I don't know if they could do it. Was a payphone. I saw that.
Oh, okay.
But oh, I don't know if they could.
Oh, this was the 70s. You said?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This was the 70s. Yeah. I mean, it's not even worth like, this is probably not worth our time, but let's check into it. Nope. They were just like, call back later.
I feel like that was just like a really lazy ass like cop that answered the phone.
Probably.
He was just like, you know what? I'm off in five. And,
could you
like,
imagine?
I don't even want to deal with this right now. I've had a hard week.
Could you imagine being known as the cop who was like, oh, sure, buddy. Yeah,
I know.
Like, whoo.
A great, great legacy you left for yourself there. I could have caught the co-ed killer.
You know, he confessed to me, and you know what? Didn't believe him.
Didn't believe him. Seemed like a trustworthy voice on the other end of the phone. I just didn't think he could really do it.
Yeah. So he was like a weird cop groupie, like we talked about. Yeah. Like, from what I gathered, they didn't really like him. Like, he was a little annoying or just awkward, kind of. Mm-hmm. But... they hung around, and he was a nice enough guy, so, you know, they were his friends or whatever. So when he called back to confess again, he asked for an officer that he knew personally and confessed to him. He then waited for police to take him in and then confessed to murdering the other 6 students. So I was wanting to know, why did he turn himself in? Why did he turn himself in? He could have kept going.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm going to see if I'm gonna, trying to remember if there is anything that would have like indicated like other than just like mind games. I mean, I guess I don't know. Is that even considered a mind game? You're just like kind of giving up.
I can give you his explanation of it. So according to Kemper, the original purpose was gone. It wasn't serving any physical or real emotional purpose. It was just a pure waste of time. Emotionally, I couldn't handle it much longer. Toward the end there, I started feeling the folly of the whole damn thing. And at the point of near exhaustion, near collapse, I just said to hell with it and called it all off.
Wow.
The reason that he did everything in his mind is his mother. He killed her. It's gone. Like, he would still kill again. He even says that. Yeah. Like, that quote I said.
Yeah.
In the beginning, he even said he would absolutely kill again if he was on the streets. Like,
wow.
Yeah, but the reason he turned himself in, like, there wasn't really any point in hiding it anymore because she was gone.
So really, it really all led up to him really wanting his mom dead.
Yeah.
And once she was gone, he didn't really feel the need to.
Or humiliating her like she humiliated him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really fucked up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, the biggest thing that, like, which is kind of just what I've been, like, mulling over, the biggest thing, which is it's the same. Okay, so he has Mars in his fifth house.
What does Mars represent?
So Mars is the planet of passion, anger, war, assertion, separation.
And what's
you
your
have
fifth house?
This, like, and I think it was in Capricorn. Sorry, let me check. I believe his. Yeah, so his Mars is in Capricorn. So you have this, like, fiery Mars in this, like, kind of, like, orderly sign of Capricorn.
Okay.
But it's in the fifth house, and the fifth house is kind of, like, referred to as the fun house because it does refer to, like, your pleasure, your sexual activity, your creative legacy.
Oh, my God.
Just, like, what you pretty much just, like, bring into existence. Joy, pleasure, I guess children would apply if he had children, but he doesn't.
No, thank God.
But, and this is where all the weird sex stuff was in this house too that I was reading earlier. So just, yeah, spontaneous and, like, competitive. And then there was something. The only thing I could think of that about the whole, like, kind of giving up is that it points to just really not wanting to be a failure. So any possibility of failure is, like, unacceptable.
Mm.
So maybe that translates into, like, you know what? Like, this is going to happen on my terms. Like, you
yeah.
know, I did what I had to do. And
that's the Capricorn, too.
Yes. Everything was very orderly with him.
Capricorns, aren't they usually known for, you know, hardworking and, like, super strict?
Yes. And it even indicates that he has that. But you know what? It actually takes a lot of hard work to fool that many people.
Yeah.
So, it makes sense that that he is hardworking just in a very weird way. But he just has a very, the strong, like, love of pleasure and just very impulsive, like, the, you know, that whole chart that we kind of, like, went over earlier.
Yeah.
But this Mars in his fifth house, like, to me, this whole section is, like, him.
Yeah. You
know? It even says, like, creative, keeping your motives and personal agenda hidden.
Jesus.
On the surface, things can be almost like a gentle persona. And
I think people, like, talked about him like he was this, like, gentle giant.
Yeah.
But he's a fucking sociopathic murderer.
Mm-hmm. It even indicates that there could be some, like, resentful feelings that surface. Just from
resentful of his mother?
Yeah, well, it says, like, you know, you could even become resentful just feeling the need to, like, sneak around to get what you want in life.
Yeah, yeah.
Which obviously he was kind of doing.
Yeah, it's not really, it's kind of frowned upon to brutally murder a bunch of women.
It is. So, yeah, so, like, resentment, you know, and buildup of, like, resentment just, like, really can really distort him. And not dealing with it properly, even, like, you know, it sounds like passive aggressive might even kind of describe him a little bit, you know? I mean, I guess up until the point where he actually started.
Well, he murdered her in her sleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no, good night.
It's not super confrontational.
Yeah.
But I guess with some of the co-eds it was. But yeah, it just says often, like, it could be a passive aggressive approach to others and just chasing dreams and fantasies. But it does say, too, that, you know, you take responsibility for your actions. You avoid blaming others. And, yeah, I mean, obviously he did
so
do
he,
that.
So he definitely took responsibility, but in, like,
but
a
he
weird
did blame, kind of, like.
Oh, yeah. The way he would talk about it, he would say, like, you know, and because my mother, unfortunately, they got killed. Like,
yeah.
they did it to themselves.
Like,
or, oh, because
not truly taking responsibility.
Yeah, he's not truly taking responsibility, but, like, I see how the, you know, responsibility thing could play into him turning himself in. So he was indicted on 8 counts of first-degree murder, and he tried to plead not guilty by reason of insanity, like I mentioned earlier, the cannibalism that he later recanted, but he was found legally sane. So on November 8th, 1973, he was found sane and guilty on all counts. He requested death by torture because he thought that's what he deserved.
I mean, he did.
Absolutely.
But I guess that's not very PC. They don't do that.
No. Well, this was the 70s. But either way, he received 7 years to life for each count served concurrently. And he got all life sentences.
Okay.
So he loves to talk. There are so many interviews on YouTube. If you're interested, you should definitely watch it.
I feel like there was a lot of interviews in that. That was a two-part special I watched.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I do feel like there was even interviews like once he was already in jail. You could tell he loved it. Like he was
living for it. Loves to talk about it. It's insane to me how he talks about the murders. Like it's like I was saying earlier, like it's so unfortunate they got themselves killed. Like what? You did it.
Yeah, I do remember seeing some interviews, and it's always jarring when you see these like killers that talk very nonchalantly about what they did. Like it's just like just having a conversation, and like I killed them and like fucked their head or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
What I mean? Saying it like it's nothing.
You can't just speed past that. Like you didn't just say what you just said.
Have, like zero. There's like zero emotion there, and just like not emphasis on anything. It's just It's very very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So he was one of the first to talk to the FBI about like the mind of a serial killer because he said he wanted to save others like himself from killing. I think he just wanted the fucking attention.
I agree 100%.
If you've seen Mindhunter, he's portrayed in that show and the actor that played him is phenomenal.
Okay. I have been wanting to watch that. I have not. It's on my watch list.
They canceled it and oh my God. They did... I think they only did 2 seasons.
And they left you hanging at the end of the second season.
Oh,
I hate
so pissed.
When shows do that.
Mm. So pissed. It's such a good show. Mm. But the actor that portrayed him looks very similar to him, and it's freaky. But it's so good. They're so good. Also, fun fact I didn't know, Ed Kemper read books on tape. There is over 5,000 hours of him as the narrator for a bunch of audiobooks.
Oh, they let you do that, like, from jail? In the 70s, they did,
They did.
Back when there was books on tape.
Well, now there's audiobooks, so, yeah. I mean...
I wonder if his audio is in any of the...
I'm sure you can find it. It's just so weird to me. While he was... Oh, did you want to say something?
The very last thing about this whole section of Mars in house is just that... the most important things that he needs to learn in life is self-control. And at best, you are a creative person with a powerful imagination. And that is, in a weird way, very accurate.
Yeah, so, in the wrong way, but still accurate. Nonetheless. One thing that I read, so he was sentenced to the California Medical Facility. He's still there to this day. He had a really weird rivalry with another killer, Herbert Mullins. Herbert Mullins committed his murders at the same time and in the same area as Kemper, and he hated him.
Is it kind of like the competition thing? Like,
well, he said he hated him because Mullins was just a cold-blooded killer. Killing for no good reason.
Oh.
So in Kemper's mind, he was killing for a reason.
He had the mother, and he was
very cold and calculated. That's where that Capricorn comes in, and all about that. So he hated him because he just thought he was just killing for no good reason. So this is kind of funny. It's not funny, but it's kind of funny. So what did Ed do? He manipulated and physically intimidated Mullins. So, for comparison, just remember, Ed is 6'9", 300 pounds. Mullins was 5'7". So, because Mullins had this, like, weird habit of singing and bothering people when someone was trying to watch TV, Kemper would just, like, throw water on him to stop him. Like, you know, you would with, like, a cat. I hate to make that comparison, but, like, with a cat. Cat, how you would, you know,
the spray bottle. Not that I've ever done that, but I've heard.
So he would throw water on him to stop him. And then he said when he was a good boy, he'd give him peanuts. Oh, so he conditioned this man. He trained this murderer to ask for permission to sing. So Mullins would then ask Kemper permission if he could sing.
You know, I'm not
and gonna, would like ask for peanuts. And
I'm not gonna lie, I am absolutely fascinated by people who can, for whatever reason, control whatever like situations like that. And
yeah.
people, I understand that it has to be a pretty weak-minded person, to be able to gain control of them, but
also though, remember he had the IQ of like 145.
Yes.
He's a sociopath.
Yeah,
he can make you see what you want to see. That's why he got out of the psych ward after he killed his grandparents, mm-hmm. because he can make you see what he wants to see.
It's a mind blow.
Yeah,
it? Like you'd like to think like, oh, no one could ever fucking make me do that.
Yeah.
I don't like peanuts,
I don't even like peanuts.
Cashews, maybe. But like, no, seriously. But it's very, that's always been a very fascinating part of those like of
killers,
psychopaths and killers that.
Cults too.
Oh, cults. Yeah. That's a big one. I don't understand it. But I want to. I mean, I don't want to in the sense where, like, I want my mind controlled, but I just want to know, like, why? Like, what is happening? What are they saying?
Look, this is terrible to say, but I feel like if I were to get sucked into a cult, that people would be like, oh, that makes sense.
Saw that coming.
That's terrible to say. And I'm not calling myself weak-minded, but I am very idealistic. And there's a certain type of people. We can talk about cults.
Oh,
we
sure.
can make that a whole episode.
We'll have to do an episode on that one for sure.
I'm super into that. But yeah, like, it's a lot of people that do get sucked into cults aren't necessarily weak-minded, or people that are manipulated by sociopaths aren't necessarily weak-minded.
I think it's people that like are looking to just be a part of something.
Yeah, yeah. You know? If something's like missing or whatever.
Yeah.
So if he thinks that this guy, you know, killed for no good reasons, he had no reason.
Mm-hmm. Just no respect for the game.
Yeah. Or yeah, or no, just no reason at all, that he just did it just because that he would respond maybe well to a
mm-hmm.
punishment reward type of relationship. I don't know. But that just kind of like blew my mind. So,
yeah.
So Ed Kemper is still alive. He is 72 years old, still at the California Medical Facility, and reportedly likes prison. He's anytime they've, I think, even offered the chance of a parole, he's denied it. Like I said, he requested death by torture.
That is, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the story of Edmund Kemper, the co-ed killer. So what do we think? Did the chart match up?
I think the chart matched up pretty well to this one.
I think it matched up eerily well.
I mean, I wasn't even able to get into the majority of the chart because just that one section, it just
Mars.
Seemed like the Mars in the fifth house was like, that was all him. And we did touch on other parts, but that, it's so rare that you see this like whole entire section that is just one, like 100% spot on.
That just rules everything.
Yeah, that it's just, and that's why I was so curious, because I was like, whoever we're talking about is a sexual pervert for sure.
And he definitely is.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to show you a couple
pictures.
So this is Ed Kemper. So for height purposes, you can see.
You know, it's pretty rare that guys that big even live that long. A lot of like super big guys have heart problems because it's their heart is working so hard. It's very rare. Well, I don't want to say rare that they live into their he probably won't live very much longer though.
I hope not.
I feel like they definitely don't live as long as like little guys.
Little guys.
You know, you see like a 90-year-old man. Is he ever fucking 6'9"?
No, you're
like
right.
5 foot.
Yeah. So that was Ed when he was arrested. That was his mugshot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for comparison of height. Like, that's like a,
that is an old-timey picture.
It is. Well, it's from the early 70s. He is a giant. Wow. Also,
he's like at least a head taller, a whole head taller.
So I am 5'1".
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine me standing next to this fucking monster?
You come up to like his belt.
Probably. We will not be showing this on the Instagram, but you can look it up if you want. So that's his mother. That was his mother.
Whoa. Wait, is that eye makeup?
That's just a really old picture. She's wearing glasses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was his mother. She looks like a bitch.
She really does. I see it now, but like...
She did not deserve...
Picture, like, it looked like she was had horrible anything.
She did not deserve to be murdered. But she was a fucking bitch to him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, she looks like a bitch.
Yeah, it is absolutely horrible when probably the cause of someone turning out the way that they turned out is a direct result of... you know, a horrible parent.
Yeah.
You know, that just abused and neglected and didn't show love.
Yeah.
And that changes everything.
They're like, main needs aren't met.
Mm-hmm. It changes everything. And, the chart still, like, he was still able to portray what I think his persona, you know, really should have been deep down all the way. I think he knew who he could have been, had he not had that, like, that part of him.
It's like the nurture versus nature thing. I mean, yeah. I think that's the case with, I mean, not just every killer, but every human.
Yes.
Is that, you know, yes, you have these certain personality traits, but they can mean two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
But this was him talking to the FBI agent, which I thought at one part of me thought, that's a really cool picture to have. And the other part of me was like, why are you being so fucking buddy-buddy with this?
Why does it look like it's two old friends just like shooting the shit?
I get it because they want to get information from him. This was the first time. Remember, this is the first time that the FBI is looking into like serial killer profiling.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like getting, they want everything from him. So I get it. You got to make him happy. But still, I'm just like, this picture doesn't sit right with me.
It doesn't, but it... What this shows me is how accurate, especially like just going into the very first, you know, aspect of his sun sign in Sagittarius, just being like cheerful, friendly, getting along with everybody.
Isn't that kind of Leo too?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and everything always depends on like what, like where the placements are.
That's
like,
true. That's true.
What I think is also funny, though, is throughout, and I made notes here, throughout his whole chart, it's so big on freedom, like just being freed, which, you know, maybe he feels more free, you know.
In prison.
I mean, he's making that choice, obviously. Well, I mean, not that even if he wanted to be out, he would be
out. He would never be paroled.
No, but he's still like, this is what he's choosing. So maybe like, you know, maybe he feels like this is his freedom.
He was seeking freedom from his mother. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And then the last picture that I have is him it was from 2019. Mm-hmm. So the most recent picture of him. Just, still alive.
Disgusting.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that is the story. That's it. That's Ed Kemper. Yeah. Again, make sure to follow us on Instagram at Killer Stargazing. Email us with comments, questions, stories, or who you want us to cover next at killerstargazing@gmail.com. Goodbye.